It's to the best of our knowledge. And this hour, we're talking about the benefits of reading fiction. We just heard how great literature can make you more empathic. But what about trashy novels? I mean, sometimes I'm just not in the mood for serious fiction. Is there anything to be said for reading mass-market romance or sentimental chick lit?
Even melodrama can carry someone across the gulf between his life and the lives of others. A terrible TV movie about addiction can still make someone feel for the addict, no matter how general this addict, how archetypal or paradigmatic, no matter how trite the plot twists, how shameful the puppetry of heartstrings. Bad movies and bad writing and easy clichés still manage to make us feel things toward each other. Part of me is disgusted by this. Part of me celebrates it.
Leslie Jamison is the author of The Empathy Exams. It's a new collection of essays that explores our basic understanding of others, and in it, she argues for a reappraisal of sentimentality. She talked to producer Sarah Nix about why writers and readers shouldn't be afraid of showing a little emotion.
One of the things that has always moved me as a reader, and so one of the things that I've always wanted to give to readers as a writer, is just intensity of feeling on the page, going deep into characters, their emotional lives, whether those characters exist or don't. And so I think that's always compelled me towards literature. But I also see the ways that when you render emotion wrong or too simply or don't do justice to how complicated and messy it is, you're not honoring it at all. You're sort of doing exactly the opposite. You're flattening it. You're taking emotion from the page. So I think I always feel compelled towards this quest to bring really intense emotional life out in my language and to my readers. But at the same time, I have a lot of fear about what it might mean to do it wrong.
Maybe some examples would be useful here. So what kind of work are you talking about when you're using terms like sentimental or saccharine?
Yeah, I think that what comes to mind for me are, you know, the kind of after school TV special where everything is sort of simple, like the character might be wholly good and everything that happens to them is totally wrong, or you have characters who are villains and other characters who are perfect. And so sadness or happiness, like those emotions have pretty neat edges around them. For me as a writer, I feel like I came of age in an era where there was so much, it was already understood that sentimentality was one of the great evils we were working against. And so part of what I was responding to in the essay that shows up in the book is almost the kind of crippled literature that comes when people are so afraid of being sentimental that they write prose that doesn't have any emotion in it instead. And so that's the kind of peril that lies on the opposite side of the continuum.
Where do you think that came from, that movement away from sentimentality in literature or in fiction in general?
Well, I think some of it came from, you know, whatever people mean when they say postmodern, they probably mean a lot of different things, but writing that was very intensely aware of writing as something constructed. So if you put feeling into a piece of writing, like that's just a result of authorial craft. And I think in the second half of the 20th century, there was a real rise and a desire to call attention to everything that writing was doing as it was doing it. And so that was a kind of pushback against sentimentality, and also the kind of rise of irony as one of the languages that we feel most comfortable speaking is very much also kind of pushing back against sentimentality.
You know, I was curious when I was reading your Defense of the Saccharine essay, because it wasn't until the final pages when you seemed to get around to explicitly defending sentimentality. Where do you stand on it now?
What I'm really defending is the importance of trying to portray emotion in all senses, in the art that we make, and not being scared off from the portrayal of intense emotion by the fear of being overly sentimental or being called sentimental. Because I think the kind of sentimentality that I'm defending is our right to elicit and experience feelings that are kind of one note, or can be a little bit crude, or can be overly simple and just strong, but that part of our obligation to those feelings is to think through what they mean after we've felt them. And so it's sort of making a case for really intense feeling that's annotated and that's interrogated and that's subjected to certain kinds of questions, you know? So it's like, let's let ourselves move towards these big feelings, but also ask ourselves questions about what's happening as we move towards those big feelings. So it's making a case for that second content part of it, that thinking through it part of it.
So you make the case that sentimentality and anti-sentimentality are essentially flip sides of the same coin, that whatever position we take, we're kind of boosting our own egos either way. So what do you think? Should we just give in to the kitsch kind of sentimentality, or let our inner critics, our inner ironics rule? Or is there a middle ground somewhere?
I do think there's a middle ground, because I do believe in trying to represent emotion in complicated, nuanced terms. And so in that sense, I wouldn't wholly side myself with the sentimental if sentimentality is sort of invoking overly simplified emotions. But I also find myself wanting to argue against a lot of anti-sentimental discourse, because so much of how feeling operates, even in these really crude representations, still holds a lot of truth and force to me. And this idea of just simply sort of pushing back against it, that doesn't feel right to me. I want to honor whatever was driving that even overly simplified effusion of feeling. Like, I want to honor that, but I want to ask more of it.
Maybe both sides are just searching for some kind of truth in emotion.
Absolutely. I really feel that that is a part of the quest on both sides.
We should point out, of course, that you also write fiction.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you think there's a difference between empathy, maybe, that we feel in the face of a sentimental fiction, or an emotional response that we have to a great feature story in a newspaper or something like that.
Yeah, I do. And I'm still trying to figure out what the contours of that difference are, but I do think there's a difference. I think some of it has to do with what kind of obligations are entailed by having an emotional response to a story. So in a way, what reading fiction does is give us the satisfaction of feeling like we're empathic, but not demanding anything of us in response, because those a character in trouble in a novel isn't out there in the world somewhere actually in trouble. Whereas with nonfiction, you know, when you read a feature in the newspaper about someone suffering in another part of the world or in your own city or wherever it is, there's the possibility and the question of, well, if you have a feeling in response to this story, what are you going to do about it? And what do you owe the person in that story, whether they're in a distant land or in your land? And so I think that that question of whether empathy needs another beat in order to be worthwhile, whether it needs the other beat of action, is differently posed by nonfiction than fiction.
So maybe it's safer for us to have an emotional response to fiction than it is for us to have an emotional response to fact.
Yeah, in a way, it's kind of zero gravity emotional encounter, because you get the feeling without having to pay for it, which is also kind of rhymes with Oscar Wilde's quote on the sentiments. I might be paraphrasing it wrong, but the sentimentalist is one who wants the luxury of a feeling without paying for it, you know, and I think that's some of what we get in fiction.
Well, can I ask you to just go out with one more reading?
Yeah, absolutely. The truth is, I resist something in sentimentality too. I'm afraid of its inflated gestures and broken promises, but I'm just as afraid of what happens when we run away from it. Jadedness, irony, chill. I'm not immune to the siren call of either pole. I've caught myself in all stages of the sentimental guilt-indulgence cycle, clutching tragedy and then fleeing its ramifications, taking refuge in feelings gone molten or frozen in compensation. I'm not the first voice to call for sentimentality in the wake of postmodern irony. There's a chorus. There's been a chorus for years. Once upon a time, it was directed by David Foster Wallace. Now it's directed by his ghost. He was searching for literature that could make our, quote, heads throb heart-like, that could hold feeling and its questioning at once. I believe in the possibility of this heart-like throbbing. I believe in the possibility of Christmas risks. I believe in an interrogated sentimentality that doesn't allow its distortions to be inherited so easily. I want to make a case for the value of that moment when we feel sentimentality punctured, when we feel its flatness revealed, that sense of a vista splitting open or opening out. Something useful happens in that moment of breakage. After the sugar high, always dwells a sharpened sense of everything not sweet. if the saccharine offers some undiluted spell of feeling, oversimplified and unabashedly fictive, then perhaps its value lies in the process of emerging from its thrall, that sense of unmasking, that sense of guilt.
Leslie Jamison is the author of The Empathy Exams. What do you read when you're not in the mood for serious fiction? Do you have a guilty, sentimental pleasure that you can't quit? Tell us about it on our Facebook page.